I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we hear from you in our Back Talk segment. But first, it's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, media executive Nick Charles, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, and sports writer Terrence Harris. Apparently, Ruben Navarrete didn't need a trim this week, but we expect him back in the shop next week. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, hey, fellas, welcome to the shop. How we doing?
Hey.
Good, Jimmy. How you doing?
What up?
Yo, what's up with Paris Hilton? She responds to McCain's use of her image in an attack ad with an attack ad of her own. Michelle, we got tape on that, right?
Yes, we do. And don't act like you all haven't downloaded this about 18,000 times each. So I'm sure you all have seen it a couple times, especially Jimmy.
What you talking about?
Only for the shop.
I did not see her in that swimming suit. I swear I didn't.
I swear you didn't. But for the few who have not yet seen the ad, here it is.
Okay, so here's my energy policy. Barack wants to focus on new technologies to cut foreign oil dependency. And McCain wants offshore drilling. Well, why don't we do a hybrid of both candidates' ideas? We can do limited offshore drilling with strict environmental oversight, while creating tax incentives to get Detroit making hybrid and electric cars. That way, the offshore drilling carries us until the new technologies kick in, which will then create new jobs and energy independence. Energy crisis solved. I'll see you at the debates.
Well, wow. There you have it.
Wow.
Airhead
Paris
Energy
Hilton
Policy.
For Secretary of Energy.
There you have it.
Well, who knew Paris Hilton was so bright? Now, there's some debate about whether or not she was using a teleprompter, although let's face it, clearly she was. But let's give her points for having the funny, poignant ad that spun McCain's jibe right back at him. A-Train.
What's up?
My man. You are the resident Obama supporter. I don't know how you feel about Paris, but how you feel about her jibe back at McCain?
Well, first of all, I will bet all the money in my pockets, which is a whopping $12, that she had a teleprompter front and center right underneath that camera. I think this goes, Jimmy, you know, to what we've been talking about for the last few months, how the presidential campaign has essentially devolved into a YouTube presidential campaign, and I think it's very effective. I think that her ad, which has I think now been seen like over 7 million times online, you know, really is going to not only resonate with the general public, but especially amongst young voters, and show that we really are sort of shifting into a new generation of politics.
Nick, do you think her ad was pro Obama, or was it just kind of pro Paris?
I think it's of course always pro Paris, because Paris is about Paris, and I have nothing against that. I think, you know, she showed that, you know, she's not the DP hippie blonde dummy that people think she is. And, you know, she's built a career on nothing, but she's a trust fund baby who doesn't need a trust fund. And I think, you know, she tried to walk that thin line of not showing that she was supporting Obama, but she definitely hit McCain between the eyes. And, you know, John McCain doesn't really know that much about energy, or his energy seems retro energy policy. Mm-hmm. And the policy she just reiterated, or she just read from a prompter or memorized according to who you want to believe, sounds reasonable.
To me, that's what's interesting about it, is she synthesized
it's a hybrid plan.
Energy policies. I mean, what are the two sort of strains of thought on this? The Republicans generally believe in expanding supply. Democrats generally believe in limiting demand or investing in new technology. And here whoever, you know, wrote this thing comes up with a hybrid. Right. And you're like, hello?
Yeah, that's
what's
brilliant.
So terrible? Oh, yeah.
Paris for president.
I was impressed. I was like, wow, okay. I mean, the images I had of Paris just went away. I mean, after
oh, come
no,
on.
They
oh, yeah.
No, they didn't. Come on.
That was a,
no, you just added a new one to your wall. Right, but that's but that's okay.
Oh, see, now that's not right.
But
okay.
Hey, Jimmy, can I jump in on something? But what do you guys all think about just the whole way the campaign has kind of gone forward this week? Jimmy, you and I were talking about this earlier. There's the whole like way people are acting at the rallies and so forth.
Oh, yeah. It's this weird thing with the reporter, Stephen Price. This is in Florida. He was removed from a backstage area at a rally. This is for John McCain. Now, apparently, there's some idea he was standing in the wrong place, and that doesn't strike me as terribly unlikely, but there's also this thing where he was the only black reporter. Michelle, we got tape on that, right?
We have a clip of Stephen Price. He's talking to News and Notes about what happened to him. Here it is.
At the moment that the police officer came over and his hand is on this holster and he started to get aggressive, and, you know, things started coming to my mind pretty quick, and I'm thinking, okay, I am the only black person out here, period. And yeah, I mean, it occurred to me, and as a matter of fact, while we were being ejected, the Palm Beach reporter looked back at me and said, "Well, Stephen, you're guilty of being black while reporting."
Well, there you have it.
Nice.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Does anybody else think this was a case of him being somehow profiled? T. Harris.
Nick and I both know Stephen very well. He's a good friend of ours. And he's one of the most nicest, most docile guys you ever want to meet in your life. How could he ever be a threat? This is a good dude. I mean, and so clearly, I mean, this was just, I mean, it seemed like it was some type of profile. I mean, because you could not look at Stephen and say, this guy's a threat.
And Stephen had a credential, and he showed it twice. And I think this was, you know, I think this was McCain's macaca moment.
Macaca moment being what? Meaning what, Nick?
Meaning George Allen's macaca moment when he singled out the only Asian person in the crowd, Indo-Asian, dark-skinned person, and made fun of him by using the word macaca.
Wow. Well, I mean, again, I don't...
But the difference is, though, that was the candidate versus these are security people.
Right. I think
macaca moment as it was to talk about picking out a person of color, not exactly, you know, letter for the
word. I think
this is like Barney Fife security, where they're you know, checkpoint chicky, like, you know, hey, you get out of here. You know, don't you know who I am? I'm security.
But maybe that's part
of
the issue. Maybe there's a subconscious assumption that a dark person is threatening.
Well, right. I mean,
maybe that's the issue.
A month ago, we had the story about, you know, Barack Obama's advance people in Michigan taking out two Muslim women with headscarves. I think this is what it was. It wasn't the candidate. It was, you know, the lackeys and cronies that were saying that you really don't belong here.
You know what I think? I think this is just a case of overzealous security people. I don't think this has anything to do with race. I think there's some holes in the reporting that make me uncomfortable. I don't believe that, you know, he was just standing there and the security asked him to leave and then he left. No diss to Stephen, because I don't know you, bro. I got love for you, you know, but I'm willing to give McCain's campaign the benefit of the doubt.
Jimmy, Frank, if you could just hold on for 1 second, I just need to jump in just for 1 second to say, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, Terrence Harris, and Arsalan Iftikhar. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. You know what? In other news from the road, Senator Barack Obama gets heckled at a rally down in Florida. There was this weird thing where his black supporters came out to see him in St. Petersburg, and they yelled, "What about the black people?" Michelle, we got tape on that, right?
Yeah, do you guys want to hear it?
Sure, drop it.
Yeah.
All right, here it is.
Yeah, drop that.
And when our government fails... Hold on a second. What's happening, guys? Frank, hold on a second. Let me make my statement. Why don't you all sit down? Then you can ask a question. That's why we're having a town hall meeting. Sit down.
What do you think that was about? I'm just curious. What? Nick, I was just, what do you think that was about? I'm not going to ask Jimmy because, you know, he yells at people just because he's got no discipline.
I think it was great. I think it was really appropriate. I also think it's a great expression of your First Amendment rights. They had a great sign that said, "What about the black community?" And there's, you know, there are people who are still questioning what is he doing in terms of addressing issues that are specifically important to African Americans. He wants to be the person of all the people, but let's be honest, he's a black guy. And so black folks want to know, okay, what are you going to do specifically for us? What about the community that is going to give you over 90% of the vote?
We know over 90% of 13% of the population is my question. So I guess I'm just curious why. I understand what you're saying in terms of people have the right to say what they want to say. But do you see veterans heckling McCain at his events saying, what are you going to do for the veterans? Do you see...
I think it's
why is that helpful to sort of reinforce the notion that people vote based on what you're going to do for their racial group? I mean, is that...
Well, it's the first time, particularly for black folks, it's the first time you're going to have somebody in the White House who you think is going to be responsive to your needs. And let's be honest, you know, black folks have been voting for Democrats and other folks for years and then getting let down at the altar. And here they have a guy who is like, you know, who's running for president and he looks like you. And you say, well, okay, he'll have some empathy, if nothing else. And maybe he'll focus on some of the things that we haven't had resolved in our community for a long time.
But I guess what I don't understand is why aren't all the candidates equally responsible to these communities?
Well, I think
why aren't they asking McCain the same question?
Because we have double standards. I mean, there is a double standard. I mean, the perfect example is the whole Reverend Jeremiah Wright thing with Barack Obama and the Reverend John Hagee and Rod Parsley thing with John McCain. I mean, Barack Obama had to come out and give a huge speech on race in Philadelphia, you know, when this whole Reverend Wright thing came up. And, you know, we were talking about Hagee and Parsley for months, and McCain basically was able to, you know, just say one sentence about it, and nobody ever brought it up again. And so there is a double standard. You know, they do have racial and religious undertones, and I think that we have to call a spade, and I think that that's the reality.
I disagree, Arsalan, because I think there's outsized expectations for Obama that are not at the door of John McCain. People are going to expect more of Obama. They see him in a different light as John McCain. John McCain may win the presidency, and it may be, you know, 4 more years of the same. With Obama, this whole change you can believe in, people really think and really hope that, yeah, this is going to be changing, and so they're going to hold him up to that.
I guess what I find the most disturbing is that he responded. and that's going to cause him a problem down the road, because now that people see that he responds to this type of stuff,
good point.
You know, he's going to get a whole bunch of people out there heckling him. And whether it's Ludacris or, you know, or anybody, he feel like he just has to answer for everything. And I think that's going to bite him eventually. T. Harris, you had something.
Well, what I was going to say is, I mean, I think this is the tough part for him. I mean, everybody expects, because he is black, to run, you know, base everything on black issues. He can't do that. He cannot run and win being the black candidate. And we all have to understand that. I think we all have to trust that. I mean, he knows our issues. He knows what's wrong. And I think once he's in office, he'll take steps to fix those things. But I think we really have to be patient here.
Yeah, good point, man. Listen, switching gears, inexplicably, Brett Favre, he's back in business, but he got traded to the New York Jets by the Packers. Now, wait a second. T. Harris, you're our sports dude. You're the present sports dude here. Yo, can you kind of thumbnail what's happened? Because it's like a soap opera. It's like Peyton Place meets, you know, Monday Night Football. What just happened?
Well, what happened was, I mean, the Green Bay Packers, they had moved on, and they did not want him back. And here this guy come back. I mean, he comes back after he retires. They do this big thing, you know, this huge announcement for him. He's gone. They've moved on to Aaron Rodgers. And all of a sudden, June, July roll around, and this guy wants to come back all of a sudden out of nowhere. And, I mean, and you can't do that. I mean, it's horrible for the stability of the franchise. And so I don't blame them for saying, you know, we don't want any parts of this.
You know what? Now he gets to join the fraternity of Michael Jordan, rapper Too Short, and comedian Gallagher of people that have retired and decided to come back and ultimately failed. Oy vey. You know, so...
What's so terrible? Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Arslan.
You gotta put down the haterade for a second here, guys. I mean, let's not... You know, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Jerry Rice. I said last week on the shop, you know...
Gallagher.
Nine out of ten people couldn't name Jerry Rice's last uniform, you know? And Brett Favre has given so much to the game of football in the last 20 years. I think we need to, you know, chill on the hateration in this dancery right now. Give him a chance.
All right. You know,
what's so terrible? So what if he wants? You know, here's my take on this. The problem here is that men don't get maternity leave, because if they got maternity leave, they would get a break, you know, and then you could think about it and do something else and then come back.
Okay, Michelle. Okay,
that's what I think.
So how get that?
That's above my pay grade.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna have to call it a wrap. Thank you so much for another edition of the Barbershop. I have to kick it back over to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. You didn't like my concept there?
I did.
I got nothing.
I don't get it.
A sabbatical, a little sabbatical where you get to think about, you know, what, you know, it's all about. All right. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV1 Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Terrence Harris is a sports writer for the Houston Chronicle. He joined us from member station KUHF in Houston. Nick Charles is vice president of digital content at BET.com. He joined us from our New York bureau. And Arsalan Iftikhar is a contributing editor for Islamica magazine and a civil rights attorney. And he joined us in our Washington studio. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Peace.
Thank you, Michelle.
Peace.
Yep, yep.